بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم وصلی اللہ علی النبی الکریم رب اشرح لی صدری ویسر لی امری واحلل عقدۃ من لسانی یفقہوا قولی. دا ٹاپک فار دس ڈے از دا کانسیپٹ the teachings the moral teachings in Islam the moral teachings in Islam yesterday I was interviewed by a TV channel. The interviewer said during conversation, the interviewer said that it is a general impression that there is no concept of philanthropy in Islam, or at least the concept of philanthropy was not developed in Islamic system. I said that this is a misunderstanding. The fact is that concept of philanthropy is very much in the Islamic system. If you read Quran and Hadith, you will find that there are hundreds of teachings in this regard. For example, if we take a copy of the Quran and open it, you will find that the very first verse is like this: بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. In the name of God, most merciful, most compassionate. Here you can see that Quran introduces God as a merciful God, as a compassionate God. Then there is a hadith, تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. Adopt the character of God. So, when you think about this, you will find that in the Quran and Hadith, Quran and Hadith give great emphasis on the philanthropy. You know, the genesis of philanthropy is mercy and compassion. And this is the basic teaching of Islam. There is a hadith, irhamu man fis samaa. No, irhamu man fil ardi yarhamukum man fis samaa. Irhamu man fil ardi yarhamukum man fis samaa. Be compassionate to mankind, and God will be compassionate to you. Here you can see that it is very clear in Islam that you have to be compassionate and merciful to other human being. Otherwise, your salvation is doubtful. Irhamu man fil ardh, yarhamukum man fis samaa. be compassionate to other men and women, to all mankind, so that you may receive the mercy of God. So here you can see that it is in our personal interest to be merciful to others. According to Islamic frame, according to Islamic system, it is to our personal interest to adopt this culture, this character. I think that this is enough to understand that philanthropy in Islam is incomplete sense of the word. Philanthropy in Islam exists in complete sense of the word. Then, in the chapter number 90 of the Quran, there is a verse, وَتَوَاسُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَتَوَاسُوا بِالْبَرْحَمَ, enjoin patience and enjoin compassion on one another. Here you can see that Quran enjoins us to be merciful, to be compassionate to all mankind. Here the word used in the Quran is marhama. Marhama. All the commentators tell us that here marhama means shafqat alal khalq or rahmat alal khalq. Al marhama means to be merciful to all mankind. The word is not rahmat alal muslim. Here the word is not rahmat alal muslim, but rahmat alal khalq, rahmat alal ibad. Some commentator has explained it in these words, rahma alal ibad. So watawaso bil haqq watawaso bis sabr watawaso bil marhama means that you have to be merciful, you have to be compassionate to all mankind, to all mankind. Then here Quran has bracketed patience, sabr, with marhama. Why? Because it requires patience. Otherwise you cannot adopt the character of mercy, character based on mercy. Because every time there are some negative experiences from others. You live in a society, you live in a family, so from others, from other members of the society, you always experience some negative character. It is but natural. It is not possible to live in a society where there is no problem, there is no negative experience. It is not possible. Living in society is like living in thorny bush. Living in a human society is like living in a thorny bush. laying with rose flowers. You know, with every rose flower there are thorns. So this is the example of society, of human society. So it requires sabr, patience. Otherwise, you cannot follow this teaching. If you want to be merciful, if you want to be compassionate to others, you have to be patient. You have to be tolerant. It means that according to Islamic teachings, it is a unilateral character, not bilateral. Islamic concept of mercy or compassion is a unilateral character. It is not bilateral. From the other side, you always receive some negative experience. But you have to be merciful. You have to ignore all those things. You have to be patient. This is very important. So Quran, at one side, enjoins us to be merciful, to be compassionate. And at the same time, Quran enjoins us to be patient. وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْبَرْحَمِ. Without sabr, there is no rahmat. Without patience, there is no compassion. So it is very important. Then there is a hadith, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ. One who fails to acknowledge man, he will fail in acknowledging God. It's very important. If you fail to acknowledge other human being, you will also fail to acknowledge the God Almighty. Why? You cannot divide mercy, sentiment of mercy, sentiment of compassion, sentiment of acknowledgement. It cannot be divided. If you have sentiment of acknowledgement, so being merciful is a kind of acknowledgement. Why? When you are in society, every time you receive something from society. Every time. For example, when you went out from your home, you walk on a street. A street is a gift of society. When you walk on a street, you are receiving some benefits from society. Because it is society, an organization. It is the social organization that has gifted you a road, that has gifted you an electric system, that has gifted you a planned city. So every time you are receiving some benefits from society, if you take anything, pen or cloth or house, anything, it is not your own discovery. When you use electric system, is it your own discovery? Have you discovered the electricity? When you use motor car, Have you invented motor car? When you use cloth, have you invented modern cloth mills? So anything you use in this world, that is a gift from society, gift from humanity, gift from civilization. So man in this world lives between two kind of gift. Natural support system, like sun and moon and stars and planet Earth, all these things are gift from nature. So it is natural support system. Then there are numerous things that you receive from mankind or from civilization, like planned city, like motor car, like communication, like all those things that you use in your life, that are result of long endeavor, long struggle made by the society, by the civilization. So you live between two things, civilizational support and natural support. Without natural support, you cannot live. Without civilizational support, again you cannot live. So this is the meaning of that hadith. Man lam yashkur an-nas lam yashkur Allah. One who fails to acknowledge humanity, he will also fail to acknowledge God Almighty. Because the sentiment of the element is not in his heart, not in mind. That the quality of acknowledgement. Acknowledgement is a quality, is a consciousness. Acknowledgement is a thinking, is a mind, is a way of thinking. Acknowledgement is a way of thinking. If you are deprived of that kind of way of thinking, then you will fail in both of the acknowledgement. You will fail to acknowledge, if you fail to acknowledge humanity, again you will fail to acknowledge God. So we are, every time we are receiving civilizational support, and then every time we are receiving natural support. So man lam yashkur an-nas lam yashkur Allah. One who fails to acknowledge humanity, he will fail to acknowledge God Almighty. This is the revolutionary teaching of Islam. So when you when you are engaged in philanthropy, you are only acknowledging the human gift. You are acknowledging the human gift. You are returning only a portion of that gift. Then Islam has linked philanthropy or rahmah al khalq with belief system. It means that moral conduct in Islam is not simply a social conduct. In other system, moral conduct is simply a social conduct, social behavior. That's all. But in Islam, it is a rewardable conduct. In Islam, it is linked with the Day of Judgment, with hell and fire, with hell and is linked with hell and paradise. If you adopt that system, if you are useful for others, if you live in this world as a giver person, if you are giving people your blessing, your mercy, then you will be rewarded paradise in the hereafter. So, according to Islamic teaching, moral character is linked with the akhira character, with paradise. It's very important. This gives you great motivation, great incentive. In other system, there is no such incentive. In other system, moral character is simply a social character. Social character. But in Islam, it is a paradise character. It is linked with paradise. Paradise means eternal place of eternal happiness. So this gives you great impetus, great incentive, great motivation. So in this sense, Islam emphasizes, there is a great emphasis on a great scale. So then I would like to tell you that according to this principle, there are some institutions also. Muslim society developed many, many institutions in this regard. For example, Waqf al-Allah. Waqf al-Allah and Sadqa Jariya. And madrasa, all these things are institutionalized way of philanthropy. Institutionalized way of philanthropy. What is waqf al-Allah? Waqf al-Allah means waqf al-khalq. When you dedicate your property for all mankind, that is waqf al-Allah. When you dedicate, when you donate some of your property for all mankind, that is waqf al-Allah. So it is an institutionalized way of philanthropy. It is doing philanthropy by way of organization. And in the history of Muslims, In every period, there were so many awqaf al-Allah, thousand and thousand awqaf, even today there are many, many awqaf. So what is waqf al-Allah? Waqf al-Allah means waqf al-Khalq. Waqf al-Khalq means to dedicate some of our property for the benefit of mankind. So this is an institutionalized way of philanthropy. Then Sadqa Jariya. What is Sadqa Jariya? Sadqa Jariya means donating something which is beneficiary, which is used. Donating something which is useful for men, generation after generations. First, for example, if you build a road or a well or anything that is used by common people. By common people, like bridge. So this is Sadaqa Jariya. If you build a bridge, it will be useful for people generation after generation. That is Sadaqa Jariya. It was also an institution in the Muslim society in every age and every period. In every period, you can see that there are Muslims were engaged in this institution, that is Sadaqa Jariya. Then what is Madrasa? Madrasa is also Sadaqa Jariya or philanthropy. The concept of Madrasa is to empower people. It is youth empowerment. Madrasa means youth empowerment. You need to educate youth, to empower youth, to make them able to cope the problem of life. This is the Madrasa concept. Previously, every community was taking admission in Madrasa. Now, generally, Muslims are admitted in Madrasa, but in previous years it was not. In India, you know, Dr. Rajendra Prasad was educated in Madrasa. Many, many old Hindus will tell you that we were educated in Madrasa. So Madrasa was also a kind of youth empowerment through education, because education means making one enable one to live in a society, to find a successful base in the society. So it is youth empowerment. Madrasa means youth empowerment. So in Islam, philanthropy is a very important teachings. And also, in Islamic system, it is very important to know that Islam has linked philanthropy with belief. For example, once there was a servant with the Prophet of Islam. So one day he said to his servant, and he failed to do the job. The Prophet became angry. He said, لولا خشيت القبض لو جاءتك بهذا السؤال. It means that I fear that I will be punished by God, otherwise I would have to punish you. So although servant was wrong, but Prophet said nothing. His belief refrained him from punishing him. So here you can see that philanthropy is linked with belief system. So philanthropy in Islam is not simply a social behavior, social conduct. No. It is a rewardable act. If you do something better to other member of the society, you expect that you will be rewarded from God. You will be rewarded paradise. So this belief system, the Islamic belief system, provides an incentive, a motivation. So it is very important. Then, when Prophet was in Medina, once he saw a Muslim, he was beating his servant. So when Prophet saw it, he said, his name was Abu Masood. He said that, Elam Baba Masood, Lallahu Akhtar, Elam Baba Masood, Lallahu Akhtar Alika, Min Kala Hadal Ghulam. O Abu Masood, God is more powerful upon you than you upon this servant. So he left that servant and said, I'm sorry, forgive me. This is the power of Islamic teachings. Power of Islamic teachings. In Islam, philanthropy is linked with the hereafter, with the Day of Judgment. Thus, Islamic belief system provides an incentive or motivation. Otherwise, it is very difficult to maintain this, to maintain compassionate culture in a society, because every time there are some kind of bad experience, some kind of negative experience. Then Islamic belief system wants to pay respect to all mankind, not only for Muslims, but all mankind. Here I would like to refer an event. When the Prophet of Islam migrated from Mecca to Medina in 622, at that time there were some Jewish tribes in Medina. At that time. So, what happened? One day, the Prophet saw a funeral procession, Julus-e-Janaza, a funeral procession passing through a street in Medina. On seeing the funeral, Prophet stood up in respect. On seeing the funeral, Prophet stood up in respect. One of his companions said, O Prophet, it was funeral of a Jew or funeral of a non-Muslim. not a Muslim. Then Prophet said, he never said that, oh, I was wrong. I was unaware that it is a funeral of a Jew, a funeral of a non-Muslim. He never said like this. He said, Alaysat Nafsan, the Prophet of Islam said, Alaysat Nafsan, was he not a human being? Was he not a human being? Here you can see that everyone is respectable. Every Muslim, every non-Muslim, every Jew, every Christian, every Hindu, every Parsi. Everyone is respectable. Every human being is respectable. You have to pay respect. So you see, you know that in a society, in a healthy society, it is must that everyone must be regarded as a respectable person. Every man or woman must be regarded as a respectable person. If he is a man, then he is respectable. You know, the Prophet of Islam performed the Hajj before his death. He performed a Hajj that is called Hajjatul Wada in history. Hajjatul Wada. It was only 2 months before his death. So in this Hajj, he addressed the people. There was a large gathering in Arafat. Arafat is a vast field near the mountain Arafat. So Prophet addressed a large gathering over there. He said in this sermon, La fazla li arabiyin ala ajameen wala li aswada ala ahmara. He said that there is no superiority. Arab are not superior on non-Arabs. And also, whites are not superior, whites are also not superior upon blacks. La fadla li arabiyin al ajabiyin wala li aswada al ahmara. There is no superiority for Arab. There is no superiority for white people. There is no superiority for kings. There is no superiority for wealthy people. No. Everyone is respectable. Everybody is respectable. Irrespective his creed, his rank, his creed, his color, his culture, his religion, irrespective of all these things. He is respectable. If he is a man, then he is respectable. This is the base of philanthropy. It is the base of moral behavior. When you feel that all men and women are equal, then this thinking or this sentiment compels you to be to treat people as an equal. Equality is the basic of Islamic teachings. The Prophet of Islam used to rise early in the morning, and after morning prayer, he used to say, Allahumma ashhad anna al-ibad kulluhum ikhwa. O God, I bear witness that all men and women are equal. All are sisters and brothers to each other. This was not only a sermon, this was a declaration by the head of the state. At that time, Prophet was the head of the state, and as a head of the state, he declared that everyone is equal. This feature of Islam is recognized by all scholars, all historians. It is so obvious that all scholars have admitted it. Here I would like to say that, I would like to quote one reference. Swami Vivekananda was a great scholar of India. He was a great son of India. He was authority in Hinduism. So Swami Vivekananda writes in one of his letters that discussing this problem of equality, he says in his letter that if ever any religion approached to this equality, it is Islam and Islam alone. It is worthy of Swami Vivekananda. If ever any religion approached to this equality, it is Islam and Islam alone. So equality is the basis of Islamic moral system. Islamic moral system. So if you read Quran and if you read Hadith, you will find hundred verses and sayings in this regard. Prophet of Islam has said that وَاللَّهِ لَا يُؤْمِنُ وَاللَّهِ لَا يُؤْمِنُ وَاللَّهِ لَا يُؤْمِنُ الَّذِي لَا يَأْمَنُ جَارَهُ الَّذِي لَا يَأْمَنُ جَارَهُ بَوَائِقَهُ. It means that he is not a true believer. He repeated this sentence three times. He is not a true believer. He is not a true believer. He is not a true believer. Who creates problem for others? Who creates problem for others? It means that if you are living in a society and you create problem for other members of the society, you are not a believer, you are not a Muslim. So, according to Islamic teachings, every believer must live in his society as a no problem person. As a no problem person, as a harmless person. Every believer must live in society as a harmless person. Harmless person. You are not allowed to create problems for others. Any kind of problem. You are not allowed to create any problem, any kind of problem for others, for other members of the society. It is a true philanthropy in Islam. I would like to quote two different verses, one from Hadith, one from Quran. Quran says that one daldal hadith fi abbasun shadidu wa munafi'un linnas. Here Quran refers iron. In this Quranic verse, Quran refers iron as a model for character. As a model for character. It means that be strong in your character like iron. Be strong in your character like iron. One dalal hadith fi abbasun shadid. So in this world, in this world, God has set some models for our character. So, iron is a model for a strong character. Then, there is a hadith, Masalul Mu'mini ka Masalil Khama. Believer is like a tender plant. Masalul Mu'mini ka Masalil Khama. Mu'min is like a tender plant. Here you can see that at one side, Mu'min must be strong like an iron, like iron. And the other side, Mu'min must be lenient like a tender plant. It's very important to understand this. When you are living in a society, you have to adopt a principled character strongly. You have to live as a principled person. You have to live very, very strong person in terms of character, in terms of morality. But at the same time, in terms of mercy, in terms of compassion, you have to be lenient, like tender plant. So in terms of principled character, you have to be like iron. And in terms of mercy and compassion, you have to be like a tender plant. These are the true teachings of Islam. The same was the same teaching you will find in the sayings of Jesus Christ, Prophet Jesus. He said that this you can see in Bible, in the New Testament. He said that be clever like a serpent, be clever like a serpent, and be innocent like a pigeon. Be clever like a serpent, and be innocent like a pigeon. This is the true character of a believer. Believer is a strong person, but at the same time, believer is a lenient person. And you know, both is required in a society. In a society. Now, who is Aaron Mann? I think that Aaron Mann is a predictable person. Aaron character means you are a predictable person. One can't predict your behavior. Aaron is a predictable element. Aaron is very, very strong. So Aaron is a predictable element. You can predict that if you built a bridge using iron, then it will last for centuries. You can predict. So Aaron Mann means predictable person, having a strong character. So at one side, believer is a strong person. Believer is a predictable person. But at the same time, believer is a lenient person. Believer is a person who has mercy in his heart, who has compassion in his heart. Once a man came to the Prophet and asked, O Prophet, give me a master advice by which I may be able to manage all the affairs of my life. Prophet said, La taghzab, don't be angry. Don't be angry. It means, be merciful to all mankind. When you are angry, then you are not merciful. So he said, La taghzab, don't be angry. Behave, live in a society without anger, without harsh character. So La taghzab means you have to live in a society as a merciful person, as a compassionate person. Your character must be a friendly character. Friendly character. When someone provokes you, someone shows enmity against you, then don't react negatively. La taghzab means that when someone provokes you, someone misbehaves, then you have to adopt the culture of then you have to be merciful. Don't react negatively. This is the meaning of La taghzab. So at one side, believer is a strong person like an Aaron, But on the other side, believer is a lenient person, merciful and compassionate to everyone. This is a true picture of a believer. There is a hadith. The Prophet of Islam has said, "Ittaqillah haythuma kunt wa ashirin nas bi khuluqin hasanin." Ittaqillah haythuma kunt wa ashirin nas bi khuluqin hasanin. It means that fear God and behave with others and your behavior with others will be good behavior. Ashir das bakhulqin hasanin, with good character, with good behavior. So here you can see that there are two kind of duties. In technical term we say huququllah, huququl ibad. In fiqhi term, in legal term we say that huququllah, huququl ibad. Now huququllah means duties towards God. Duties towards God. And huquq al-ibad means duties towards man. Duties towards man. So these are two duties. Two duties. Every believer is expected to perform these two duties. At one side, he must fulfill the duties of God. That is basically ibadah. Ibadah. Huququllah means ibadah. And huququl ibad means akhlaq. So ibadah and akhlaq. These are two basic duties in Islam. You have to fulfill huququllah, duties towards God. That is basically ibadah. And akhlaq. That is good character, good behavior. So it is akhlaq. So all the teachings of Islam are divided into two teachings, ibadah and akhlaq. So akhlaq is all those duties that are duties towards mankind are called akhlaq. And that is based on the concept of mercy, concept of compassion. Compassion is the basis of akhlaq. Compassion and mercy and well-wishing is the basis of akhlaq. So, I can say that well-wisher to all mankind is the Islami akhlaq. Islamic akhlaq means being well-wisher to all mankind. Being well-wisher to all mankind. Having friendly character. Well-wisher to all mankind and having friendly character. This is the Islami akhlaq. Islamic character. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أجمعين.